Please join me in prayer. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In today's sermon text in Acts 1, the disciples were on their own for the first time. Do you realize what had just happened? If you were paying attention to our hymns this morning, you would know for sure. Jesus had just ascended into heaven. What were they going to do now? What would you have done? Our text tells us that they returned home to Jerusalem and went to the upper room where they were staying. And verse 14 tells us, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Seems like there were about 120 people in all. What an emotional roller coaster ride the disciples had been on. First, they had the betrayal by Judas, one of the inner group of 12. And then came the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus. That was hard to top. But the Lord did it with his resurrection from the dead. And then the disciples were riding high and expecting great things, and Jesus went and ascended into heaven. I thought of the disciples last Monday morning as I attended the memorial service for our veterans at the Chester Township Cemetery. For one of the speakers used this quote in his comments, quote, they were called to participate in something much greater than themselves. This was said, of course, of our veterans, but it certainly applies to Jesus' disciples also. They were called to participate in something much greater than themselves. They were caught up in the war of all wars, the struggle between good and evil, the struggle between God and those who have rebelled against him. The disciples were major participants in a conflict which would determine which people were going to go to heaven and enjoy an eternity with God, and which people were going to go to hell. It wasn't, and it isn't, a pretty situation. And this colossal story centers around two gory stories. The first is told in graphic form in Acts 1 today. Judas, one of the 12, betrayed Jesus, which led to the suffering and death, no less, of the Son of God. He guided the soldiers to arresting Jesus. He was paid to do this. The Holy Spirit revealed that this was to happen ahead of time when he spoke through the mouth of men on what would eventually happen. And in our reading from Acts 1 today, you may have noticed the parentheses around verses 18 and 19. They have parentheses around them because they are not part of Peter's speech from elsewhere in the scriptures. They are an explanation from Luke and give us gory details concerning the death of Judas. The scriptures indicate that in the end, Judas hanged himself from a tree. And apparently he hung there for some time before his body finally fell, splitting open, with his insides spilling out as a result. Feeling remorse over his sin, Judas had tried to return the money he was paid, but the priests did not want to take it back because they considered it blood money. As far as we know, the chief priests finally picked up the 30 pieces of silver and used them to buy a potter's field as a burial place for strangers. It is known as the Field of Blood to this day. Isn't it astounding that all these little details were predicted by God's prophet Jeremiah ahead of time? So, directed by the Holy Spirit and also by the writings in the Book of Psalms, the disciples and many followers of Jesus met to decide on a replacement for Judas. They wanted it to be someone who had been with them from the time of Jesus' baptism and also someone who had witnessed his resurrection. As Donna read there, there were two they settled on. They prayed for God's guidance, cast lots, and Matthias was chosen. The second story, the gory but necessary crucifixion of Jesus Christ, does not explicitly appear in today's text, but it is written all over many pages elsewhere in the Holy Scriptures. How Jesus was arrested, falsely accused, rejected, mocked and spit upon, and died in agony on the cross to pay for our sins. But note this fact of great importance. Both Jesus and Judas died horrible deaths in fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. And the truth is that both gory deaths have something in common, but the implications of the details are, of course, are entirely different. The death of Judas is disturbing, isn't it? Frightening, horrible to contemplate. The death of Jesus brings the believer consolation and salvation. Both Jesus and Judas died on a tree. The tree on which Judas died is nothing more than a tree of death. It's a symbol of hopelessness and despair. But the tree on which Jesus died has actually become a tree of life, which brings great hope to all those who believe. Both the lives of Jesus and Judas were finished in a bloody and gory way. The gory death of Judas makes us want to turn away in revulsion and sadness. But the blood of Jesus, on the other hand, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9:22 confirms that with its statement that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Both Jesus and Judas were forsaken and deserted in death. Psalm 69:5 probably refers to Judas when it states, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. In the end, Judas died all alone. And like all those who die without true repentance and faith, he faces an eternity of separation from God. Jesus was also abandoned and forsaken in his death. Remember his words of, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken for a time for us as our substitute and sin bearer. But his gory death in the end brought us salvation. And we have his great words of comfort to help sustain us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why does God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, include such gory and graphic details about Jesus' death and Judas' death and other people's death in the Holy Scriptures? Well, who knows the mind of God but God himself? But it is perhaps to snap many of us out of our fairy tale view of life that we often have. It is a necessary reminder that we are in a world of sin and death, and that humankind has always faced horrible, bloodthirsty enemies. There are at least four of them. We have Satan, the instigator behind the rebellion against God. We have sin, brought into this world because our first parents trusted in the words of Satan rather than the word of God. We have death, a penalty we brought on ourselves by our disobedience. And we have hell, a penalty we will receive if we do not trust in the Jesus who paid for our sins. The disciples of Jesus' day faced a daunting task following his ascension into heaven. So what did they do? They had fellowship. They spent time in prayer. They replaced a disciple they had lost and they moved forward. They did what Jesus told them to do. And as a result, the world was significantly transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, despite the fierceness of the opposition. The Church of Jesus Christ faces the same enemies today. These four horrific enemies of humankind, Satan, sin, death, and hell, are still around, aren't they? But just as the disciples endured through fellowship and communion, prayer and devotion to God's word, we can do the same and move forward and accomplish much at this time in history. There is little doubt that there will be challenges, and possibly even worse. But let us keep our focus on the future Christ has won for us, and the promises He has made. We have been called to be the people of God at this time in history, and we are never, ever to give up. It's said that after the clouds comes the sun. After defeat comes the victory. And 1 John 1 tells us, quote, "Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And even as our journey through this world ends in death, we have the words of Christ's Apostle Paul to comfort us. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.